Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. So, as always, we want to start with This Week on Raw and on to the next segment.
It's hard to explain how just meh about it, about Raw, how it was. Probably the best way is if you go on our YouTube channel and you watch our latest video. And at the very end, our friend Neil essentially gives us the perfect visual interpretation of what Raw was like.
Yeah. Something that's really interesting about this week's Raw is that there were two or three really rather long matches.
And good matches.
Good matches.
Yeah.
That Randy Orton match against
Cody was
long, solid match.
Really good though.
Dolph and Kofi.
Yep.
Long and solid. And honestly, the main event was, you know, was the Team Friendship and John Cena versus the Shield.
Gotcha.
You know, pretty nice long match. Not a bad match.
No.
And so.
But there really didn't seem like there was much in between.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, I felt guilty for not liking it because, I've complained about short squash matches.
That's why I haven't gone out and just flat out said that Raw was bad, because Raw wasn't bad. The crowd was fine.
Yeah.
The crowd was pretty active, actually. It didn't seem like there was much going forward. It was pretty much like we had a bunch of matches.
Yeah.
Everyone's pretty much having promos against the guys that they've been doing promos against.
Yeah.
Nothing really all that new occurred.
I mean,
nothing further did any story.
The big thing to take from this for me is that, you know, all the problems in wrestling, blah, blah, there is no one solution.
No, and
there's a lot of stuff that's like, oh, if they just bring back the brand split, or if they just unify the titles, or if they just do this, mm-hmm. or just do that, it would. And there are things, and, you know, while I think all of those, there's very good arguments for doing those things.
But one thing but on its own wouldn't fix everything.
Especially one thing 1 week would not fix anything. You know, any one of these three things, you know, if there was a Randy Orton, Cody, they could clearly have a very good feud, I think. Mm. Or there's potential there for it.
Well, yeah, we got a little bit of that back during Orton's, you know, year from hell last year.
Well, that was one where I was like, that would have been so much better if Randy would have gone for the title.
Right, like, well, yeah.
Just because he would not challenge Cody for the title.
Yeah, it was a good feud.
Cemented that the title was beneath him, and thus the champion was beneath him.
Right, it was a good feud that never went to any sort of pay-per-view. Those matches were only on SmackDown.
Exactly.
Not saying that this would fix everything or whatever, but what would fix it right now, and I feel like this is why everything feels just so long and drawn out and just kind of falling flat, is that they stretched the weeks between WrestleMania and Extreme Rules so far this year.
Yeah.
Because this time last year, we were already getting ready for Over the Limit. We're almost like a couple weeks before Over the Limit. But they went like a good 6 weeks, I think.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it was, I don't remember exactly when Extreme Rules was.
But it was still in April.
Yeah.
It was towards the end of April.
So, I think, see, and this might be to some degree just personal preference, mm-hmm. but I think for me, and the reason why there's no quick fix to wrestling, is that for me, the long, drawn-out stories are the ones that work the best. Like, I'm genuinely invested in Ryback versus Cena because of that thing that, you know, that... Because
there's a connect, yeah.
Well, there's that promo. Ryback is like, this has been building, my anger's been building
mm-hmm.
from... since this moment, and here's, you know, all these examples, it's like, they've been building this right under my nose this whole time. And I
either
have, but they were able to really draw that together.
They were able to connect the dots that were already there. It was like, okay, well, this and this happened already. We might as well use it for what's going on now.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a happy accident on their on that. Now, when they do it purposefully, it also it's really good. I'm doing a series on my column this week and next week on the Rager, where I'm just going through week by week of the entire CM Punk championship reign, and I just finished up the feud with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, and I think it was the beginning of that was like what's going on with Ryback and Cena. You know, they already have kind of a history,
right?
Let's and you know just use it going forward. Cena or Punk and Daniel Bryan, they had steady matches. About, I want to say about a month before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And they were essentially used as pawns in the whole Laurinaitis, Teddy Long fight struggle.
Right, because they're both champions at the time.
Exactly. And so we had the seeds there, and then, you know, we would go through the whole WrestleMania season, and all of a sudden they pick right back up, and even that goes 3 months.
Right.
And it was just very well timed and well thought out past, after Extreme Rules. Everything before that, it was just a happy incident. So there's precedent for it, and there's a way that they can actually make it unique and interesting.
Yeah. And so what I want to focus on here is that these good matches, and while they are good matches and extended mm-hmm. matches, and it, you know, it might honestly just be the sheer amount of wrestling that exists on a weekly basis.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's something... And there's a balance there where, like, guys have to be on TV often enough for me to care about them,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, can't be on there enough to get tired of them.
Okay.
Like, you know, the... And so... To deal with that, it's a thing of character, and each of those matches have people whose character I don't click with, and that's not actually true about the Shield and Team Friendship. I like everybody's character in that one.
Right.
I like the way that Cena's character is going even right now.
Yeah, I don't have any real complaints with it now.
No, I like I like the freshly redemptionized, redeemed, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
I like freshly redeemed. I like the almost a heel to certain people. Like the there is some antagonistic things there.
Hashtag not heel.
Hashtag not
a face.
Hashtag not a face.
Screwed it up.
I really want, when he loses the championship, to get the same shirt, except without the belt on it.
Okay.
Because it'll say the champ is here, and then just
straight
down.
Straight down to his privates.
Yes.
That doesn't seem very PG, sir.
I don't care. Money will be shelled out for that t-shirt.
Pretty sure you can make that t-shirt.
Shut up. Yeah.
Just don't put the hashtag RT equals now or whatever. The letter R time equals now or whatever.
Oh, our time is now?
So dumb.
That's pretty dumb. I really hate that shirt, actually. Just because it's a really lazy-looking shirt.
Well, yeah, but... And they already did that shirt. They did that... It's essentially the same fashion as the I Am the Tag Team Champions t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got that shirt.
Yeah.
And it's essentially the same thing. It's just the same type of lettering on a white shirt with a belt on the front.
Yeah. It's a lazy shirt. It's a lazy, lazy shirt. But my point is, in those other matches, like Kofi's match, Kofi is just, he's such a stale character right now.
Yeah.
He's so generic. There's nothing going for him. He has so been pigeonholed into that he's, you know, has brilliant spots in his match. And he can work a good match,
oh,
but
yeah.
He's, you know, he's just a highlight reel, you know, waiting to happen. And he's thrown up against guys who just need filler matches.
Mm-hmm. We're not doing anything with the U.S. belt right now.
Yeah. So, every time Kofi steps out, you're like, ah, this is a match to fill time. This is furthering zero stories.
Right.
And same thing with Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As soon as the music hit, you're just like, All right, yeah. Well, we can, you know.
You can put on a...
I could scroll through Twitter right now. Or I can go use the bathroom really quickly or something like that.
Yeah, you know? And they can put on a great display of athleticism.
Everything. But we know nothing will come of it after that match.
Right. And that's...
Or nothing interesting.
Well, that's the struggle, is to make me invested in every moment. And that's the thing about what I was saying about so much wrestling thrown in your face.
Mm-hmm.
To try and convince me that you have 3 hours worth of material, of worthwhile material, you know, no. plus the two on SmackDown and the pay-per-views and the main event.
So I had an idea this past week, and it's probably... it's probably it's nothing brilliant. I'm pretty sure people have come up with this idea before. I say go back to 2 hours until you get to WrestleMania season. Because that's the time, that's the point in time where it feels like they need 3 hours to fill everything.
Yeah.
Especially when they have part-timers coming in.
Yeah.
Specifically that time between Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania. That period of time almost feels like they need 3 hours.
Yeah. It's a tricky thing. Like, how do you go 2 hours without looking like you're admitting defeat?
I have no idea.
I mean,
I really don't.
I don't either. You know, it's.
But I mean.
No, I mean, like,
you're gonna have to admit defeat one way or the other because the ratings for the last hour lately have not been good.
Yeah, I mean, I fully believe that you know, 2 hours is long enough easily.
Right.
And so, yeah, to have. Just because pay per views are 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
And that's nothing but wrestling.
Yeah.
Usually.
But in theory, it's everything that happens on a pay-per-view is important.
Right. So that's essentially saying that not everything that happens on Raw is important.
Right.
Yeah. That's supposed to be the difference between the 3 hours.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get like a pre-show on Yahoo or whatever.
Oh, did Yahoo get it?
Yeah. They made the announcement this past week. I don't know the details, but Yahoo got it.
Wow, Yahoo is coming back.
I know. You would think Google would get it, like, seeing as how they already have a partnership with YouTube and WWE.
Yeah. Jeez. Yahoo got that. Yahoo also got access to, like, all of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I heard that as well. I think the article I read kind of bundled all that together.
I'm just like, golly, I'm waiting for AOL to start getting some exclusive stuff at this rate.
Forgot AOL still exists.
Yeah, 1999 is coming back. The vengeance.
Oh, dear Lord.
So, moving right along.
We covered all of Raw in like 13 minutes.
It's just because
there's nothing. There's nothing, yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, there really isn't. Nothing, there was no real progress made in any sort of Extreme Rules build-up.
Caitlyn does have a secret admirer now. Who do you think it is?
It better be Cody.
That's what I'm
thinking. It better be Cody.
I'm thinking Cody or Big E.
That's it. Actually, I would really like it to be Big E.
Either that or someone they're going to bring up from NXT.
Yeah. Oh.
And if they do that, they might go the creepy route, which I'm hoping it's Bray Wyatt then.
Yeah.
That would be
creepy.
That would be creepy and awesome.
Speaking of the Divas, they did mention, I mean, I guess we'll mention it. Okay. Yeah, there's a Divas reality show happening on E. Which, on the surface, whatever.
Right.
It's the Funkadactyls and Bella Twins and Natalya are the ones that are being advertised.
So, the Divas that have just come back to the company.
Yeah.
The two Divas that hardly ever wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
That are essentially known for being just cheerleaders.
Yeah.
And the really good Diva that doesn't get any time either.
And poor Natalya. There's
right.
Genuine talent, and they're like, you know where this genuine talent should go? Arm candy for Kali.
Right. I mean, if... You would think they'd throw in the Divas Champion in there.
Well, that's my question is, do you
think...
And
everyone loves AJ. They would get decent ratings if they threw in AJ with her following.
Yeah. My question is, do you think that these Divas on the show are going to start getting really pushed on wrestling in an effort to...
Well, they're starting to put a lot of emphasis behind Naomi.
Yeah.
Cameron, they can leave in the dust. I don't care.
Well, I'm saying, I think this Diva show on E! Is probably going to do fine. It's right. going to be
yeah. an E! style show. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that's where the Kardashians all are. So that, you know,
fine.
That audience eats that up. Do you think that these divas will start getting a lot of screen time on Raw in an effort to get the audience?
They'll be getting a lot of screen time for Divas.
Yeah. Well, do you think that we'll suddenly see
instead of
these people in a title picture?
Maybe getting a Diva segment once a week, we'll definitely get a Diva segment once a week. And that's an improvement.
Yeah.
You know, any time that they can give the Divas some more time or a guaranteed slot on Raw, it's a big improvement.
Well, it's also worth noting, somebody, I don't remember who, pointed out, E! Was at WrestleMania and was able to capture the Bella Twins and the Funkadactyls learning that their WrestleMania match was canceled. Leading, of course, to rampant speculation of if this match was ever intended to go on, or if they were trying
because the same match, they pulled it from the card at one point, and then a week before WrestleMania, they put it back on the card.
Yeah. If there was plans to be able to get that reaction. And Chris, who still thinks that The Rock is faking an injury, I'm sure is totally excited to jump on this conspiracy bandwagon as well.
Sure, why not? I mean, I didn't know that until you just said it, but I mean,
makes sense to you, doesn't it?
It
all
does.
All the dots are connecting.
It does, and
get
it kind of
yarn.
It kind of adds to the speculation of how pissed Cody got whenever they took that match off WrestleMania.
Yeah,
because here's a guy who's every WrestleMania he's gotten bigger and bigger matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then you go here, which essentially was a step back, and then that didn't even make the show. And then next thing you know, his girlfriend announces on her Twitter that Cody's going to be off Twitter for like the foreseeable future. Like she said that, I don't know if it was that night or the morning after. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe Cody found out that it was a work that they made them believe that they were going to have a match, then took it off. I don't know.
Maybe that's why Cody got this extended match with Randy Orton.
Maybe. He's like, okay, all right, here you go. Stop being mad.
Because,
you know, Brodus, he's kind of turning into a positive thing. He's getting, on Twitter, he's doing this whole thing where he's trying to get in better shape. And you can kind of see that whenever we saw him, what was it? It was Monday Night Raw. Yeah. We saw him briefly on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
And he looked a little bit leaner.
Yeah.
Not a little bit. You know, it's only been a few weeks, but you can tell he's doing something.
Yeah.
So he's turning into a positive, and maybe this, you know, they're just going to keep reimbursing Cody.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
I like watching Cody in the ring, so.
Yeah.
But move on along to the big important thing. Both me and Chris got to watch a documentary.
Yes.
This week. Finally, Amazon came through and gave me the Mankind DVD.
But
we do have
as documented in our YouTube pre-show, that Blu-ray did not come with a specific item.
I very specifically ordered right away so that I could get the limited edition Mr. Sacco edition, complete with a Mr. Sacco sock slip cover on the DVD, which it did not come with.
Nope. And that was the whole point of buying it the day it came out.
Because
that was the only day that was going to be available.
Yeah. And the title of the Amazon transaction is, you know, For All Mankind, limited edition with Mr. Sacco Puppet.
Yeah.
So.
For it not to come with that.
Yes.
Is ridiculous.
It's a big problem. If you try and buy that on Amazon right now as of this recording, you are not allowed to, and there's a box saying that there have been many, many complaints about the shipping for this item. It is under review and hopefully will be rectified soon.
So does this mean you will get your sock cover?
I don't know.
Did you file a complaint?
I actually not filed a complaint yet.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to.
Okay.
Amazon complaint filing is a little difficult. You know, the big option, like the right away option, is to return it and then say, I'm returning this because there's no sock with it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like, I don't necessarily want to return it. I want to keep the DVD, but...
Just send me the sock.
Send me a sock, too, yeah.
Right.
Now, if I have to return this copy and get a fresh copy of the sock, that's fine. But I...
Tell them don't have that BS recycle thing on it.
Yeah. The stupid recycling boxes, which I hate. But I don't want to have to, like, send this one back and then buy a new one.
Right.
I mean, even if I'll get reimbursed, it'll just feel dumb having to be like, yes, I would like this again, even though you sent me one already.
Added with, like, a $1 sock.
Yes. Exactly. But it's an official...
Colored in Sharpie.
It's an official Mr. Sacco. But we did watch the DVD.
Yes.
Very
good documentary. For someone who knew a lot about Mick Foley just by being a fan of WWE, I haven't had the opportunity to read any of the books or anything like that, so there was a lot of gaps in my knowledge of Mick Foley history.
Yeah.
And this was a good 101 course on the history of Mankind and Cactus Jack and everything.
Yeah.
If you want to go more detail, obviously go into the books. And the thing that this documentary does is made me really want to read the books that he's put out. That was my impression of it. There was stuff that the DVD just reminded me of that I'd long forgotten, and I really never should have. Like, when he came back as commissioner, how much fun that was.
Yeah.
I mean, that was roughly around the time where I kind of got out of wrestling, for a bit. But I still remember those segments, and I really enjoyed them. So I'm glad that they included a lot of those in there.
Yeah. Yeah, this, and you know, there's a thing where, like, Mick Foley, very much my personal favorite,
mm-hmm.
huge bias. So of course, I'm gonna be like, oh, this absolutely should totally buy this day of. This is needs to be a must in every collection.
Right. I mean, I'm the same way with the CM Punk DVD.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now, it is very much a 101. I remember, like, the first time, because I have read the books. The first time I was watching, I was like, they are flying through this story.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's because I've read the, you know, 1,500-page version of this, and now you can't translate that into a 2-hour documentary.
No. I mean, and it was a longer documentary than what WWE usually puts out.
It was a fairly long documentary.
But it definitely needs to probably be double that.
And while I'm saying, you know, like, it felt like they were flying through the story, at the same time, the important stuff is there because,
yeah.
you know, Mick Foley can write down, "It hurt when I got thrown off the cell," as many times as he wants. Watching it on the screen is still the best way to experience that moment. You know, it's wrestling is a visual medium, and so there were lots and lots of clip moments from the big important matches. That being said,
I know you do have a you wish certain matches were included,
yes,
yeah.
In
the extras portion in the documentary they talk those matches up a lot.
Yeah. But that's part of what made it so curious to me. And not to belittle the, you know, match selection that they had, because they did pick some great matches. But there are matches that Mick specifically says in the documentary are his favorite matches, are the matches he's most proud of, the ones that he thought are the best matches of his career.
First one being
Mind Games with Shawn Michaels.
Because he believed that to be his
best
match up to, I think he said, his match against Randy Orton.
Yeah, Backlash.
Yeah.
In 2004. And neither of those two matches are on DVD.
I thought that one was on there.
No.
The Randy Orton one was not on there?
No. Nope.
All right, and then also not on there, you said...
His Edge match,
which was he kept talking up as that was his one big WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, and... You know, and to talk about the importance of a WrestleMania moment to a wrestler is something where, you know, to not have that match on there. And there are ways that, you know, I do have that match because I have an Edge DVD.
Yeah.
So it's not the end of the world kind of thing. I'm a little upset about the Mind Games because I have that blurred and
yeah.
I would like a non-blurred copy now.
Looking forward to not having a blurred version of
That was
or having a non
The Undertaker Hell in a Cell match is on there, and I was really excited to finally. I didn't see that live, obviously, so I've never seen that match unblurred.
Yeah.
So I was really excited to get to see that. I would like the same for fighting games. So
true.
But you know, again, obviously not the end of the world. I have access to all of these matches that I'm complaining are not on there. But other people don't, you know? Mm. I have them because I pick up just about anything with mixed face on it. People who see that documentary for the first time and see them talk up these matches that are mixed. And, you know, they're mixed favorites today. On his personal blog, he released a list in 2010, I think, of his top 10 matches. And of his top 10, I think Hell in a Cell is the only one to make it on this documentary.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, supposed to be a career retrospective.
So, I mean, you could argue that Mick really necessarily wasn't the person who picked those matches.
Who picked the matches, yeah.
That would explain it.
Now, there are a lot of matches on this DVD that are not on anything else, so it's cool to be able to get those.
Yeah.
And, you know, this could very well maybe the last Mick Foley DVD ever.
Yeah, because this was, you know, it was far enough after his last match that we could really take a look back at everything.
It does. It feels very retrospective-y. Mm-hmm. He's probably not going to be doing anything new that will really justify
another DVD.
I mean, and there's very possible, you know, there will be a, you know, most dangerous matches of all time compilation, and there'll be plenty of him on there.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, this is probably it for a Mick Foley focused DVD. And, you know, I get there is a question. Do you put out the same matches that you've put out before and, you know, have people angry that, oh, I'm paying all this money for the same matches again? Or do you really try and create an all-encompassing ultimate edition, basically, of this one guy's career?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do kind of go back and forth on it. A lot of the matches that are on there would never get any kind of DVD release except for in a Mick Foley collection.
Right.
You know, they're not super substantial things, but they're still neat to see. So I'm glad I get to see them.
Mm.
And there's not any, I don't have an easy answer. I'm not coming out and saying that they were wrong for not putting Backlash on there. Or anything else, but it was surprising to me, I guess.
Right. Now, as for the documentary itself, what was the one thing that you didn't like about it?
That I didn't like about
it? You didn't like.
The one thing that I did like about it?
We said the negatives quite a bit. Let's go on some positive. It's Mick Foley, come on.
It's Mick Foley. I adore Mick really being happy. I liked him talking, and he says it at the beginning. He's like, "This my story is a happy story." And I think that's even like a big thing in like the commercials for it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like getting to see a little bit of his stand up.
Yeah.
Just because it's like it's something that Mick seems to enjoy so much,
mm-hmm.
And he's not amazing at stand-up, but he's, you know, well, he's telling wrestling stories.
Right, and you know, the biggest thing is he gets a kick out of it, he enjoys it, you know, everything else is just, you know, just side stuff at that point.
Yeah, what it really does, it made me want to read the books again.
Yeah.
There's so much in the DVD, the documentary very much makes me want to see more of this guy.
Yeah.
But I really liked, you know, there's a lot of stuff where I've talked about part of me just wants one more match from Mick Foley. Because I wasn't watching during his, you know, returns from retirement. So I was watching when Mick Foley was there on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And now. So, I didn't get a one more match sensation from Mick Foley ever. I won that for him, but at the same time, I really need his final match to be an extreme match because he's Mick Foley.
Yeah, but you don't want him.
But I don't want
at
him
his age and the shape he's in. You don't want to put him.
I don't
want to
kill him.
Right.
And I'm a little worried that might kill him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, CM Punk on the documentary said it best. You know, we don't need to see Mick Foley, you know, falling off of a Hell in a Cell. You know, if we could see him every now and then come out pulling a sock out of his tights.
Right.
Fine. Yeah. I'm okay with that. You know, we don't need to see him doing the extreme stuff anymore.
Yeah. And so while, you know, I've seen these matches, specifically his match with Edge and his match with Randy Orton, which he says is his, you know, he feels is his one more match.
Mm.
I've seen those matches, but they were kind of just mushed in there with Mick Foley stuff.
Yeah.
The documentary really gave great context for the emotional impact of this one more match kind of feeling.
Because essentially that's what WrestleMania was supposed to be, but he just was so dissatisfied with that, you know, he opened up to coming back for Backlash. You know? And he, you know, I always forget how much better shape he was in when he did come back. He lost a lot of weight because he was really, he put a lot of pressure on himself.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that pressure kind of, you know, got into his head in his WrestleMania match at WrestleMania 20. But I think at Backlash, he was able to really just let go of that and just be in the moment, be in the match. And, you know, he was in there with Randy Orton, so.
And a young, hungry Randy Orton.
Right, who needed that match just as much as Mick Foley felt like he did.
Yeah. So, it's, and again, like, even just talking about, like, I want to watch that match, but it's not on this DVD.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really my only real genuine problem with it is, like, the documentary does such a good job of
making you want
to see these matches.
Yeah.
And explaining why these matches are as good as they are.
Right.
It's a very difficult thing to do as a wrestling fan to be able to point to a match and be like, this was a good match, non-wrestling fan, because of X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few matches where I can show them to somebody who doesn't watch wrestling and just keep their attention at all. Hell in a Cell is a rare example where I can show that to people who don't watch wrestling at all, and they will just, you know, be really taken by the screen. And
yeah,
but at the same time, like Cena and Punk at Money in the Bank, you know, top five matches of all time for me. And
oh yeah,
you know, just an all around 5-star match, great. And people who just don't know or care about it, just, you know, it's harder to explain to them, like,
yeah. Well, in that match, you know, a lot of the big thing was the background of it all.
Yeah.
You know, what that match meant in the storyline, what that match meant for each wrestler personally, you know, specifically with Punk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why it doesn't necessarily play as well to non-wrestling fans. Now, I will say this. I think for a match that would play well with non-wrestling fans, I think what you need is a good balance between technical wrestling and storytelling.
Yeah.
That way they can pretty much get the gist of what the story is without having to watch everything before that. I think a good example of that would be Punk and Daniel Bryan at Money in the Bank this past year.
Yeah.
Because it was a good mix, because AJ was the special guest referee. She got, quote-unquote, hurt at one point, so she left and brought in a regular ref, and we got all the technical stuff. She came back, and she did the whole spot where she made the two fight over the chair, which was a really great spot, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that would play to a much wider audience, especially the non-wrestling fan.
Do you think, even without knowing the whole build-up with AJ and Daniel Bryan and the breakup,
to be honest with you, it would be fine because, you know, it's just the way that they react to her, just that chair spot. Like I said, like just her introducing that chair and the look that she gives whenever she puts the chair down and she just goes back to the ropes and leans back on the ropes and just literally watch the two of them fight like dogs over that chair.
Yeah.
You know, that alone pretty much tells the entire story that's been going on between the three of them. Now, you know, Kane's involved in there somehow, but he wasn't really, you know, that he wasn't a factor in that match.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well argued.
Thank you. Thank you.
Give you a point.
You can tell I just rewatched that.
Yeah. I mean, I do remember that spot, but I would not have been able to remember it if you didn't.
Yeah.
Speak on it specifically.
I probably wouldn't have thought of it to say if I just didn't rewatch that this week for the column.
Yeah. But yeah, very much in the long run, absolutely watch this.
Oh yeah.
Mick has had like such a cool career.
Oh yeah.
It's very exciting. He's very open on like when he talks about the strain that his, you know, like, his strained relationship with the WWE.
Mm.
I mean, the documentary does not touch TNA.
No,
like,
no.
And actually does a really good job skipping over it. Like,
no, yeah,
it wasn't
like,
as awkward
never,
as
you never would have thought that he went to TNA, though.
Yeah.
And that's really because, I mean, I don't think Mick Foley necessarily wanted to shed a whole lot of light on that time anyway, because he didn't really feel all that strongly about that TNA run.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's not at odds with him, but he definitely was in disagreement with him because he felt like TNA could have benefited a lot if they would highlight some of the charitable stuff that Mick Foley was doing outside the ring, like WWE does with Cena. Like, they could have easily done that with Mick Foley. They could have brought in, you know, just one camera or something to, that whole thing he did, the John Stewart rally.
Yeah.
He wanted TNA to come out there with him, and they didn't, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, he doesn't necessarily have a good relationship with TNA to begin with. From what I understand, their split wasn't all that good.
Yeah, I mean, and there's no great story lost there, you know. There's
no, not at all.
There's nothing that's being untold that really needs to be told.
And I like how he explained the whole, you know, leaving WWE. And I think that was, if you're going to leave the WWE, you might as well do it like that, because it's one of those things where, like, if you keep me on, things are going to be so strained that I will leave the company and we probably will never do business again. But if I leave now on good terms, the door will be always open for me to come back.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that was probably handled the best way.
Yeah. And, you know, I think he's done a great job there. There are several moments, again, that, like, having read the books is, like, a little additional director's commentary, basically.
Right.
Where he talks about, there's a moment when he's talking about the Rock and Sock connection, where he has to, where he puts the glasses back on, Rock's glasses fall off, and
yeah,
he puts them back on, and he goes, Rock, thanks you for that.
Yeah.
And I read it in the books when I read about it, and it was, you know, so entertaining, he thought so highly of it, and, like, that was on a random episode of SmackDown or Raw or something.
Yeah.
And I remember reading it, like, I'm never gonna see this. Like, how do I dig through the, like, random archives of wrestling throughout the internet to try and find this little promo segment?
Go to YouTube, search Mick Foley, Rock, SmackDown.
How much stuff would that bring back?
I don't know.
And how many of them would be just, this is your life?
Yeah, sure.
Like, no, but, you know, it was there.
So that was on Monday Night Raw, though.
Well, I don't know where the glasses thing happened.
It was SmackDown. I think I'm visualizing in my head, and I think I'm seeing blue ropes.
All right. Well, The Rock does a lot of stuff on SmackDown.
Well, I know, because it was his show.
Yeah. But that was cool to see. I mentioned this in my column when I talked about the DVD. He talks about, he mentioned to Vince that Vince should take a look at CM Punk and Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
In their early days, which is, you know, really cool. Which, you know, you can say that, anybody can say that now. Everybody, there's so many people who are like, oh, I was the only one to see something in CM Punk, and everybody wanted to get rid of him. Now that he's, you know, champion, and while they're all true, you know, like, without Paul Heyman, CM Punk never would be where he is, and without, you know, a lot of people did were the only person at the time. But in, I think it was in Hardcore Diaries, there was like this one throwaway passage where Mick Foley mentions like, oh, I saw this guy called CM Punk. He's in developmental right now. He could be really big someday, so I hope they use him right. I was like, that's so cool. But, you know, he has this, you know, book from 2005. And it's like, nah, this CM Punk guy, you should keep an eye out for. And Samoa Joe.
Right, right, yeah.
So, but, you know, it's fun. It's because I love the guy and I love his career.
Right.
But it's so worth watching that documentary.
Absolutely.
It's a great, great retrospective on Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah.
So, move on. Question of the day. Speaking of this career retrospective on this fellow guy, who would you like to see a DVD of in the future? And why then?
You really shouldn't tell me this question sooner so I can think about this.
Someday I'll remember to do that before we start recording.
One of these days. Daniel Bryan would be good.
Daniel Bryan would be good.
If they were given access to all of his independent stuff.
The way that they did with CM Punk.
Right, and I mean, Daniel Bryan's got a lot more of it,
yeah.
You know?
Daniel Bryan was my answer, even though I assumed Daniel Bryan was going to be answered. Daniel Bryan was still like, oh, that's got to be the right answer. Mm. Because I desperately want to know exactly the conversations that went on with him, his time in Nexus.
Yeah.
Like his one day in Nexus and getting fired, and like exactly what was going through his head all that time.
And you know, speculation of the reasoning behind that, that might not be the conversation that they want out on DVD just yet.
Yeah, no.
So that might be like years later.
Years later thing. You know, and to get the call again to be like, oh, we now want you back for SummerSlam. No, it's a thing where I would really love to do that. And that's something that has to happen, I think, in a career retrospective that will not fit. And
I would like to see one, like, out of character King documentary.
That would be really
full
interesting.
Full-on career record. I mean, because he's getting that point in his career where he could, you know, pack it up at any point that he wants. So that would be good. And an out-of-character Undertaker one as well.
I would be really interested in out-of-character Undertaker one.
Just one, just out of left field. Just, I'm thinking about it now. You would think the story of Albert/Tensai would be interesting. You know,
yeah.
Because he was, they put so much emphasis on his initial run with WWE. And then leaving for a long time in Japan. Now, if they had access to all of that footage,
yeah,
and all those stories, they, and then what went through his mind when they wanted him to come back and they wanted to push him off, push him again, into now where he just seems like he's just enjoying himself.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah, we might not all like the whole sweet tea thing, but we really didn't like the whole Tensai thing.
No, I'll take sweet tea over Tensai.
Right.
Any
so day. I don't know. Like, then again, he might not be. He might not ever.
I'm not sure you're ever gonna get
big
yeah.
enough to the point where that would justify them making a full on Blu-ray documentary about him.
Yeah.
But you would think that he would have some interesting stories.
That's actually very true. I mean, unless something goes terribly, terribly wrong, I'm sure CM Punk will get another one.
Yeah. At least at the end of his career.
Yeah.
At the very, very least.
I would be really interested in, like, well, okay. What I would be really interested in that will never happen is a all-access one on Vince that is not put out by WWE.
Yeah.
But that still has, like, involvement from Vince.
Something that he's willing to do.
Yeah.
To be a part of
it. I mean, it'll never happen. That would be fantastic.
Has there ever been one about Booker T? I don't think so.
I don't think on just him, no.
He would be interesting, too. He's got a really good backstory.
Yeah.
Long backstory, but it was good.
Do you think they would comment on that clip?
I mean, the fact that they used it in his Hall of Fame montage,
that was a bet. Somebody's like, I'm going to try and sneak this in. backstage. But that's, you know, that's a... It's like, it's a big Booker team, like, for better or for worse, like...
Yeah.
You know, and to do a full career retrospective, like, that's a big thing. I'd be interested to see one on the McMahon family.
Yeah.
And again, it'd be cooler if it wasn't, WWE didn't have Final Cut, but even if they did, like, to be fair, Vince is honestly fairly okay with people saying bad things about him.
No, oh, Lord, yeah.
If they genuinely feel that.
And if they're not saying anything untruthful, like,
yeah.
if it's not really all that flattering, but still truthful, he's completely okay with it. His big thing is, just don't lie about me.
Right.
You know?
So, that's, yeah, I would be interested.
I would like to see them do more stuff on, previous wrestlers, or older wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, even some that have already passed away or something like that. Like, it would just be interesting to hear about, like, obviously, we were not alive when Bruno Sammartino was the big deal that he was.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see a documentary about him. And now that they have a better relationship with him, it's possible now.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely possible. And I think, because he really buys a lot into his own stock, so
mm-hmm.
I would think he would be absolutely on board for a documentary about himself.
I wonder how much footage there is of him.
There's got to be wrestling. A ton. There has to be a ton.
That's watchable, that's, like, has been preserved properly.
I would think so, yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously he's wrestled a lot.
Yeah.
And he wrestled a lot in, you know, the company.
But a big, like, big production by WWE, I think, would be a really cool thing.
Yeah.
So, like, he specifically is someone that a lot of fans now would be really interested in watching.
Yeah.
Especially now that he has a renewed relationship with the company.
It's not a person, but I'd really like an NWO documentary.
Right. I was just about to say that. An actual attempt at a NWO documentary, because whatever that was last time did not count.
I know.
That was old footage, old interviews that they just cut together in a different fashion than other
people. No, it's a clip show. It was literally a clip show. Right. And so, no.
It's like, you remember when this happened? Yeah, I bet you now you remember when this happened, kind of thing.
Yeah. So, no. Unacceptable. Do over. Try again. It's like when your teacher, like, looks at you, nope. See me. This is bad. But yeah, there's some ideas. Take them.
Oh yeah.
Don't give me a Sheamus documentary.
You know they will.
Oh, Sheamus is still getting a documentary.
And it's going to be the most kayfabe, most unwatchable, just cookie cutter thing, just like his career.
Yeah. So, I just gave you a full list. Things that would be really fascinating.
Yep, because we know WWE's listening. WWE Studios, first off.
Exactly.
I should send you my script, WWE Studios. Second of all, make this stuff. Make these documentaries.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I guess it's time for the final worst segment ever.
Oh, Joel, whatever do you mean?
I mean the worst segment ever.
What? What's the name of the segment, Joel?
I'm not going to say it.
Come on! I'm not going to say it. Come on!
I'm not going to say it.
Joel.
Mailbox?
Nope.
Mailbag?
Nope. Close.
Mail carrier?
Not quite.
Mailman?
That's right! It's Chris's mail sack! Mail sack! Mail sack! Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack! Mail sack! Let's all go inside! Oh, shut up. This week, this comes in from Jason. He wants to know, are we going to get more Ricardo in the ring? Because we all want it. This goes back to the opening segment of Raw this week, where we had the sidekick triple threat match. It was really quick.
Honestly, I dug that. That was a cool idea.
It was a cool idea.
It was not the same people, which, you know, we complained about. It's not the same people I've seen fight each other 1,000 times.
Right, and we had brief flashes of Ricardo's actual ring talent, which we know he has.
Yeah.
We're all just waiting for him to show it to the world. Do you think this might be a sign that we might get more of it? Because he definitely showed some skill.
I mean, he wrestles in, NXT, some as
El Locale.
Yeah. El Locale, El Generico.
El Locale.
Is he El Locale?
El Generico is a white dude from Canada.
Right. I get those mixed up.
Because it's a skinny Canadian dude.
Okay, I don't get them mixed up. Larger, I don't remember which name goes to which
one
person.
One is a larger Mexican.
Because they're both L and a word. That
sure.
That
doesn't sound racist at all.
Whatever. So, I think part of the question is, will that character ever come up, or will he actually get to wrestle as Ricardo? And I think keep him as Ricardo, because he is over as Ricardo. He's so over with the... He basically drug Alberto into face territory.
Oh, absolutely. I still think there was a secret identity storyline.
I mean, I accept a secret identity storyline.
I mean, eventually leading to him wrestling as Ricardo.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, either way.
I think he is such a comedy bit character. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes Santino shows that he knows how to move about the ring.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But every time that happens, he always kind of falls back into Santino mode.
Right. He just, he shows some brilliance and then he just kind of flops all over himself.
Yeah. And it's kind of got to be like a slow, very delicately handled process to let these characters, get to something where it would be believable. That, and, you know, I would accept it in KFAB that they had successfully achieved victories in the ring and eventual titles. I don't know. I do think that Ricardo will be in the ring more. Just, you know, some way, somehow.
Yeah.
And I hope it's good.
Yeah. Oh, I know it's going to be good. This comes in from Twitter, from probably my favorite Twitter handle, at Today's Jim Sawyer. It's a Rush reference.
I know, it's a Rush reference.
Yeah. He asks, why does being a wrestling fan hurt so bad? I'm guessing he's referring to Raw not being up to par and not really being up to par since Jersey. I mean, it's the pocket of suck, you know, we all know it's coming kind of thing. It's just kind of, you know, grit your teeth and bear it, kind of.
It's the pocket of suck, and it is because we are waiting for that one thing that will make it all worth it. And that one thing comes out maybe twice a year. Every 6 months or so, there is a Raw, and the way it ends, or something happens on it, that makes me just, you know, struggle through the next week because I'm so ready for the next Raw to find out the fallout of that. And it's, you know, like the there's usually a kickoff of a summer thing. You know, I remember Nexus coming out. I remember Punk's pipe bomb speech.
Mm.
You know, and there's that thing where the second Raw goes up, I'm scrambling the internet. Somebody's got to give me some scrap of information.
Yep.
Where is the storyline going?
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it's that thing. And, it happens once every 6 months, and that's just enough to tide me over to the next one.
Yep.
But, yeah, no, you got to suffer through terrible, terrible wrestling. Because you got to see that live. Because I did not see CM Punk's pipe bomb live. And that hurts me a little bit still.
Yeah, okay.
No, I missed that episode. I watched it late.
Yeah, because I was staying at your old house.
Yeah.
When that happened. Actually, I was staying in your old room.
Yep. That's not creepy.
Not creepy at all. This is...
I was wearing your old pajamas.
Sleeping on your old bed?
Yeah, sure.
Your current bed, actually.
Yeah, I need to get a new mattress.
You really do need to get a new mattress. this is actually a clarification from last week's mail sack from our friend at Martyr Show. We were talking about how... wondering why Ryback just kind of brushed off Mick Foley like he was nothing. And we were, you know, well, Mick Foley shouldn't fight, that kind of thing. He was basically saying that. He wasn't necessarily saying that Foley should be fighting, but he said his point was that Ryback brushed off the idea of Mick Foley with a chair, brushed that off so easily. Yeah, we were shown that, you know, Cena with a chair is like a nuclear missile, you know.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, yeah. He just kind of completely dismissed the idea while Foley just had that death grip on the chair.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's actually a really solid point. Yeah. Because wrestling likes to pretend that you just get better as you get older.
Right.
You know, it's why, like, TNA's like, oh yeah, Hogan and Sting are the most terrifying.
Yeah, or because... you get Jimmy Superfly Snuka in that WrestleMania match with him, Roddy Piper, and Steamboat versus Jericho, and he does not, he looks like he can barely walk in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, but yet Jericho still has to sell, you know, those headbutts.
Yeah, no, because, yeah, in kayfabe, you don't get old. So, technically, Foley should be one of the most, the biggest threats, because...
Him and Bob Backlund.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously, in real life, I'd probably rather face Foley with a chair than Cena with a chair in this day and age.
Although, yeah.
Neither one, because they could both kill me twice.
Pretty much.
But, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a kayfabe excuse, and I don't really have one.
I don't either. WWE, just, nah.
I mean,
we get it, Ryback's foot needs to be focusing on Cena.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be, you know,
yeah. Taking seriously. I mean, wait a minute, like, why am I defending WWE? No, you're right.
Yeah, you're absolutely
right. You're
right. Absolutely right, Sean. So, there you go.
So, yeah. All right.
Well, that does it for the mail sack.
Until next dreaded week.
Yep. When the mail sack gets full, we need to empty her out again.
Oh.
You really wish I didn't say that, did you?
I hope people stop writing to us. I liked it better when nobody knew who we were.
Oh, you liar.
You're broadcasting to nothing. All right. So, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We tweet every Monday and the appropriate Sundays.
And if you want to contribute to this wonderful segment that Joel absolutely adores, known as Kristen Mailsack, you can send all your questions, comments to our email, that is classicringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so please check us out there, subscribe, you get new episodes straight to you every week, maybe give us a review, maybe give us a rating of
5 stars!
That'd be awesome, free for you, free for us as well.
Free for everyone. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment there. We love to hear from you. And while you're there, go ahead and check out some of the great articles. Both Joel and myself have new articles a day. Joel goes into more
Mankind detail.
Yeah, more detail with the DVD. I had my part one of the 434 championship reign of CM Punk. This week I go into the face portion of it. Next week I'm going to do part two with the heel portion.
Yep.
So check all that out while you're there.
Finally, we want to give you an update on the Kickstarter that we've been supporting, Moonbear.
Yes, and as of tonight, Thursday morning, it's 12:30 in the morning, we have 10 days to go.
Yes, and we are really moving right along.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
We are maybe about 600 shy, give or take, of our goal.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic. We are totally stoked about that. But we do need that 600.
Shout out to our boy Blair. He helped us out this week.
Yep.
With backing us on that. So big shout
Blair.
Out to him. Speaking of, we are planning to have him back on next week.
Yes.
He was supposed to be back this week, but we had some mix-ups. But that's all good, because he will be here next week. And I can't wait.
And it's always worth the wait.
Absolutely.
So, please check that out. There'll be a link in the show notes.
Yes.
Get it out to anybody and everybody you can. Be really wonderful for us.
We want to announce on our podcast next week that we met our goal.
Yes. It's such a great project.
Absolutely.
You'll be thrilled that you supported it. So, just give it a look when you get a second. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.